Guys, today I have the honor and privilege of interviewing the one and only Sid Roth. Everybody knows who he is. And today I want to talk to him about Israel and the Jewish people. He has such a burning heart for his people. And I want to get into that. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Eric. I'm excited about this.
So before I get into my Israel and Jewish questions, can I ask you one personal question?
I told you before we went on the air, feel free with anything.
If you were to...
Hey, it doesn't mean I'll answer, but feel free with any question.
Well, what I'd like is this. Will you give advice to the younger generation? Just real quick, anything that you want.
I wish more believers were like me when I got saved. I had such a radical encounter with God, I don't even understand the word backslidden. I know what's back there. Who would ever want to go back once they know what's back there and they know knowing God? But my advice is, in my zeal, in my lack of knowledge, I think in a way I did better than I'm doing today as a young believer. I told everyone that breathed who Jesus was and how wonderful he was. I would go to a restaurant. I tell all the waiters. I tell anyone at the next table. I even remember standing on a chair once in a Chinese restaurant and preaching the gospel. I was radical, Eric. And so as I got older, I stopped being so radical, but I'm not so sure that that's better than the way I was. Because although I had a lack of knowledge, I had a zeal. And yeah, how can you call on him if you've not heard? And no one's talking to Jewish people about Jesus. So even if you don't know what you're doing, that's where I was coming from. I had zero background in knowing why Jesus was the Messiah from the Jewish scriptures. All I knew, he was real. And you know, that's enough. That is enough.
You and I were eating together a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to you about Israel, and you said this statement, and I wondered if you would explain it to the people. You said, Israel itself is a sign and wonder. Can you explain that?
Yeah, Israel should not exist. You take a people group with one promise. As long as there's a sun and moon and stars, there'll be a physical Jew on the face of this earth. And then have this people group lose their land, lose their temple, their only means of getting right with God at the time, to lose their lives. Whatever country we would go to, we'd be persecuted in. I mean, not just one country. We'd go to one country, a few of us would survive, and we'd go to another country. And then the same thing would happen again. The only country that was the exception was the United States. Before the United States, no Jew was safe anywhere. So you would think that a Jew would use this logic. I'm going to hide the fact that my children are Jewish. I don't want them to go through the history of our people. But God said, as long as there's a sun and moon and stars, there'll be a physical Jew on the face of this earth. So a Jew that just stands up and says, I'm Jewish, shouts that the Bible is from God. Shouts there is a God, and can say, I'm an atheist, and is one of the greatest witnesses in the world as a sign that God honors his word.
Wow. The Jews seem to be, and actually are, the most hated group of people ever. Can you explain to the natural person, the general person out there, why?
No, but I can explain from a spiritual viewpoint. Absolute conclusive proof, not only is there a God, but absolute conclusive proof there is a devil. Now, the devil has played chess, and he knows about something called checkmate, and he knows his check mate is when the Jewish people have their national day of salvation. And so he doesn't want to lose.
Wow.
And he knows, you know, he's dumb, but I don't think he's that dumb. He knows he's going to lose. So my thought is, only thought, is his strategy is to fight as long as he can. And he knows every Jew he can destroy will be one less Jew that will come to know Jesus. He knows every Christian that he can feed a lie to. Here's the lie. Jewish people get offended if you talk about Jesus. You want to be a friend to the Jew, because there's a blessing in being a friend. Genesis 12:3 says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I, God, will curse those who curse them. So I want to be a friend to the Jew, and I'm going to be such a good friend that I will say I love you all their way to hell. That's sad. That is sad, because how can you call in him if you're not known? And if I'm told as a Jew, I can believe in anyone, in anything, and still be Jewish, still go to heaven, except one thing. I can't believe that Jesus is my Messiah. Now, is that taught blatantly? No. But is it ingrained inside every Jew? Yes. And also ingrained inside every Jew is a statement like this. I was born a Jew and I will die a Jew. Therefore, Eric, if you tell me I too can become a Christian, what you're saying in my ear is not what you're saying. What I'm hearing in my ear is I can stop being Jewish, because I'm taught if I become a Christian, I'm no longer Jewish. And God put this instinct in me to be born a Jew and die a Jew, even if I'm an atheist. And so you're going against an instinct. So that's why that's called a big lie. And there's so many lies that Christians have bought about Jewish people. But I'm saying this to you. I know that this is the set time to favor Zion. I'm saying this to you. I know, according to Scripture, there were spiritual scales on the eyes of Jewish people to the gospel. I know, as a student of the Bible, that the spiritual scales will come off of the eyes when two things happen. When Israel becomes a Jewish nation, when Jerusalem is in Jewish hands, and when those spiritual scales come off, Jews will come to the Lord. We're not seeing large numbers of Jews come to the Lord. Why? Because Christians aren't sharing. They don't know how open Jews are right now. Jerusalem is in Jewish possession. Jews are coming to the Lord. The spiritual scales are removed. But if you don't tell us the facts, the devil wins. And the one create, and this is surprising, a lot of Christians say, well, Jewish believers in Jesus, that's their job to tell Jews about the Messiah. That's not biblical. According to the Scriptures, salvation, Romans 11:11, salvation has come to the Gentile to provoke the Jew to jealousy. The call of the Gentile believer in Jesus is to reach the Jew first, then the Gentile. And when they follow that strategy, it comes from Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And then the apostles of the Gentiles says to the Jew first. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Why to the Jew first? He recognized a principal law of evangelism. When you reach out to the Jew first, you actually go into the Genesis 12, verse 3 blessing. And when you reach out to the Jew first, you not only have a blessing to reach that Jew, but you'll reach more Gentiles as a result of doing that than if you go to the Gentile first. Makes no sense to the natural mind. But Paul understood it. The apostle to the Gentiles is the one that taught this.
Oh, yeah, Romans 11:20, there's an interesting statement he says concerning the church forgetting Israel and becoming arrogant. Can you explain what that looks like or what that even means?
Yeah, I have Jesus and you don't. Rather than saying, I have Jesus and your DNA, it's you're a natural branch. If anyone should have Jesus, you should. And I shouldn't be arrogant against the natural branch because no one's sharing Jesus with them. I should be radical in telling everyone that Jesus is the Messiah, following the spiritual law of evangelism to the Jew first, like Paul.
You mentioned Romans 11:11, where the scripture speaks of the church provoking Israel to jealousy. Can you give us some ways in which the Gentile church can provoke? How do they provoke Israel? What is it that provokes them?
I would say that the scriptures give us the answer. And it says in scripture clearly, the Jew requires, that's a strong word, requires a sign.
Wow.
So a Gentile Christian that is equipped to walk in signs and wonders is the best witness in the world to a people group that requires signs.
Wow, that's outstanding.
So it's not so much, well, I just don't know. I may have foot in the mouth. Just remember these two things. A Jew was born a Jew and will die a Jew. If you are male, you don't have to stop being male to be spiritually grafted in to the Messiah of Israel. You're still a male. If you are a Jew, you don't have to become a non-Jew to believe in Jesus. You are still a Jew because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And besides that, you're the greatest sign, advertisement, if you will, on earth. There is a God. The Bible is from him and the Bible is truthful. The greatest sign is a Jew that stands up and even points in your face and says, I'm an atheist. And you say, you're also the greatest sign that my God lives.
Would you say that a Jew who believes in Jesus has become an even more complete Jew?
I don't like the word complete because that is understood wrong by unsaved Jewish people. But the word Jew comes from the Hebrew word Yehuda, which means a worshiper of God. And in order to be a worshiper of God, you need your sins atoned for. And there's no other name given unto men in which we must have our sins atoned for as the name of Yeshua. So whether you believe in Yeshua or not, you do know the Bible says there isn't one righteous, no, not one. So unless there's something called the mercy of God or the grace of God, which is Jesus coming and dying for our sins in our place, we have no hope. But the truth is, we have a great hope. And the only way you're going to know is to take a baby step towards truth. And then if you like what you see, take another one and another one. And before you know it, you'll be swimming.
A mutual friend of ours has a statement, Dr. Brown. He says, no people are so close yet so far. For the person who's watching, do you agree with that statement, number one? Number two, what does it mean?
It means we believe there's God. You can talk to the average Jew in Israel that might even be, they won't call themselves an atheist. They'll call themselves an agnostic. But they'll say, I believe in God. In other words, you're starting with a people group that believes in God to begin with, not an atheist group. And so, therefore, it's a matter of, I believe, it's a matter of two things, timing and truth. The timing is now. The truth is who is Jesus based. I would base it not on the New Testament. I would base it solely on the Jewish scriptures. I can prove to a Jewish person solely on the Old Testament, that's the Jewish scriptures, that Jesus is the Messiah. If that were not true, no one would have become a believer at the first church. Everything was there. I come from what's known as an Orthodox Jewish background. Goes all the way back to the tribe of Judah, both sides of the family Jewish. And no one ever told me even anything about a Messiah, except there was a prayer, one day the Messiah will come. That was the extent of my knowledge. Did I reject Jesus? I knew nothing. I didn't even know what a Messiah was. But I do know this, that Jews are open, but they can't call on him who they've only heard as a curse word by Jews and Gentiles alike. And wow. If you really love your Jewish friend, mm-hmm. of course you'll be a friend to them. But you're just a friend to them to lead them to Jesus. No, you're a friend to them because you operate in love. And that love is going to lead them to Jesus.
Would you give us maybe two of the examples of Christ in the Old Testament that are dear to your heart?
Yeah, actually, I started there and then I got a little off track. I was talking about my Orthodox Jewish father. I wanted to show scripture to him. He knew I was a believer in Jesus. He did not want to hear why. That was smart of the devil. If I cover up my ears and my eyes, I don't have to come to grips with Jesus. And that's why the Bible says Jewish people have spiritual scales on their eyes. But I believe that the time of the fullness of the Gentiles has come, which means, according to Romans, the spiritual scales will come off of the eyes of Jewish people, which means we're open, but the only people group called by God to share the gospel, all they know is friendship evangelism. So, of course, we're not believers. I can just tell you, you parachute me anywhere in the world in front of 1,000 unsaved, uninterested Jewish people to the gospel, and most of them will end up receiving the Lord after I speak to them. Why? Because I'm such an articulate speaker? No, because the presence of God radiates from me. And that's why they become open after thousands of years of what is perceived as Christian persecution and what is perceived as you can't believe in Jesus and be Jewish. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's not my fine articulate words. It's the presence of God. Then, once I've earned the right to share the gospel, I usually earn the right by demonstrating signs and wonders. That's the purpose of a sign and wonder. Purpose of a sign and wonder is not a miracle. The purpose of a sign and wonder is to have the miracle happen. And that's for a Jew or Gentile to come to recognize Jesus as not just Savior, but Savior and Lord. That's the miracle. So I am convinced that if more Christians would start, you ask for a scripture. I'm going to go to my Orthodox Jewish father now. He would not let me share scripture with him about Jesus. He wanted to be like that, blind and deaf. But one day he said to me, okay, I'll let you this one time tell me why you believe Jesus is Messiah. I couldn't believe my ears, Aaron. But he literally said that based on years of prayer, a miracle happened. Not that he became a believer, but that he said, you can tell me why. I started reading Isaiah, who was written about 800 years before Jesus came to earth. He's a prophet in the Jewish scriptures. The 53rd chapter, it actually starts in the last paragraph of the 52nd chapter, but just Isaiah chapter 53. I read about three paragraphs, And my father said, stop. I said, why? He said, you're reading from a Christian Bible. And I said, Dad, this is the Tanakh. That's the approved Jewish scriptures. This is the Tanakh our Orthodox rabbi gave me. He knew without me commenting, without a commentary, when I read Isaiah 53, it was talking about Jesus. So his natural conclusion was it had to be a Christian Bible. But I was reading from a Jewish Bible. How can you call in him who you've not heard? He never heard this before. And I can tell you this, at that moment, he did not become a believer. But at that moment, for the first time in his entire life, a seed was planted inside of him. And that seed grew to the point of on his deathbed, my sister and I, who my sister is also a believer in the Messiah, went to the intensive care ward of the hospital and shared a bit of the gospel with him the day he died.
Wow.
And I said, Dad, do you want to? I said, when I die, I'll be in heaven. When Shirley, that's my sister, dies, she'll be in heaven. When Mom, that's his wife, dies, she's already in heaven. We want our whole family together in heaven. And I tell you, defying medical science, because he had no voice, defying logic, because his answer was no, 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 his whole life. I said, do you want to say this prayer? And he had barely any voice. And he said, yes. And I heard him. I said, Shirley, did you hear what he said? She said, no. I said, well, I heard it. That's good enough. She said, I didn't hear it. So she walked over to my father, and she's in the hospital. And she said, Dad, do you believe Jesus died for your sins and is the Messiah? And my father, with no voice, belted out, yes! And he received the Messiah on his death. So don't tell me prayer doesn't work. Don't tell me what my mother told me, my Jewish mother, who even after she received the Lord, wanted to protect me. That's what Jewish mothers do. They protect their children. And so she said, Sid, I love what you're doing, but your father will never believe in Jesus. Stop sharing with him. I said, don't you dare say that. I know he's going to believe in Jesus. I know that. And you know what that statement was? It wasn't nerve. It was pure faith. I should have never said that. I knew what she knew. She was right in the natural. I was right in the invisible world. But here's what happened to me, Eric. I used to speak when I was a brand new believer for a group called Full Gospel Businessmen. Are you familiar with that group?
No, sir.
Okay, it was very big when I was a new believer in the Messiah. It was businessmen from every walk of life. Mostly Christians, but some Jews were coming to the Lord at that time, that would meet for the sake of someone sharing their testimony, for the sake of people being saved. They gathered business people to a meeting that didn't know Jesus. It was a great organization. It still exists today. And so I went on the circuit. I would start sharing my testimony at the Full Gospel Businessmen. And I've found that people are so hungry for the gospel. Then I decided, what if I had a meeting like the Full Gospel Businessmen for unsaved Jewish people? And I started having those meetings. And I found they were as hungry for the gospel as Gentiles that knew religion but didn't know relationship.
Wow.
I just believe there are so many people watching us right now that have a Jewish relative or a Jewish friend or a Jewish neighbor or a former teacher or a former business associate that they could share with. And I absolutely believe that if they go to my webpage, sidroth.org, they can get a free download of my testimony book. If they give it to their Jewish friend and say, look, there's so many Jewish people that are now believing Jesus is the Messiah, and they're doing it from the information in this little booklet. Would you do me a favor and read this and tell me what you think? I think we'd get about 10,000 Jewish people saved if they just do what I said right now.
Wow. Well, two quick last things I want to hear from you. What do you see coming? Number one, what do you see coming for the Jewish people in the future?
I see what the Bible says. And I see Zechariah. And he says, all nations will come against the Jews in the last days. And 2/3 will die. And you can say 2/3 died in the Holocaust. Or you can say, you know, lots of Jewish people have died over the centuries. But no, that's coming in context. And that's coming very soon. I see the world getting darker in every area. Anyone can see that right now. And especially in reference, the scapegoat, because of the devil's ulterior motive, is to destroy every Jew, because he also knows something else. He knows Zechariah says in the last days, 10 Gentiles will grab hold of the hem, that's the prayer shawl, of him who is a Jew, and say, I've heard that God is with you. Tell me about him. And Jews are going to be like Paul the apostles in the last days. So what is ahead is the devil's plan and God's plan. The devil's plan is to destroy the Jews before they can become Paul the Apostle. God's plan is for Christians to witness to their Jewish people and have Paul the Apostles raised up. And one Jew, according to Zechariah, will lead 10 Gentiles to the Lord. But if they're like me, it'll be a lot more zeros next to the 10.
Fantastic. Final question. Would you please look into the camera and speak to an unbelieving Jew? Give him the gospel.
This is what I can tell you is truth. I didn't know what would happen when I died. Do you know why? Because when I was a young child, the thought popped in my head. I was home alone. My parents were out playing poker. The thought popped in my head, what happens when you die? And I started thinking about it. And all I could think of is I would cease to exist. Now, Judaism does believe in life after death. However, I didn't know that as a young child. So my logical mind said, I cease to exist. So then my logical childlike mind says, what would it be like if whatever is me ceases to exist? And there was something in me that says, I don't want to cease to exist. Something in me that said, I don't want my life snuffed out. And it became so objectionable, I stopped thinking about it for many years. But at one point in my life where things were all closing in on me, and although I didn't want to die, life looked better. I'm sorry, death looked better than life to me. And life was too hard. I didn't want to die, but life was just too hard. And some Christians had enough courage to share, of all scriptures, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. I had read it. They gave me a Bible. I didn't even have a Jewish Bible at the time. They gave me a Bible. I read Isaiah 53. It sounded like Jesus, but I'm a Jew. I don't believe in Jesus. On the worst day of my life, I prayed an honest prayer. It wasn't a Billy Graham special. It was an honest prayer from my heart. And I prayed a two-word prayer because Christians told me that if there was nowhere else to go, Jesus would help me. So my two-word prayer was, Jesus, help. I went to bed. There's a true story. I went to bed that night, not caring whether I woke up or not. Didn't want to die, but life was too hard. And when I woke up that morning, I was not alone. the whole room was filled with liquid, tangible love. I mean, it was the most wonderful. I had never felt a love like that before. I've felt the love of a wife, of the love of a child, but I'd never felt this pure love. And my whole bedroom was saturated with this pure love. And then I heard the audible voice of God for the first time in my life. And he gave me instructions. And I said, yes, sir. His instructions were this. I'd been separated from my wife and daughter for a year. And he said, I didn't even realize he was quoting Malachi. He said, I hate divorce. Return to your family. Huh. And I said, yes, sir. And I've been a follower of Jesus ever since. Now, I'm not saying someone will have that dramatic an encounter, but I'm saying if you open the door, what you need, God will give you. Whatever you need. If you need what I had, he'll give you that. If you only need, I just believe that he's real. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything, but I believe it. That's what happened to my wife, who was Baptist and then became an atheist or agnostic, and then converted to Orthodox Judaism when we got married. So you might say she was a Christian, atheist, Orthodox Jew, and who didn't know God or Jesus. She just woke up one day and said, you know, this is amazing. She had no experience, no thing like I just described, none of that. She just, in her heart, she said, I know he's real. I know he's real. So whatever it takes, it's going to happen if you open the door to pure love. It's another name for God. God is love. And if you do, if you knock, he'll open. That's what I know. My prayer, I know it's not a Billy Graham classic. Jesus, help. That's all I said. And look what he did in my life.
Praise God. So if you're watching right now and you have not received Christ, you're not born again, just start right there. Put your hand on your heart with sincerity and say, Jesus, help. Just like Sid was saying, the door will open and God can begin to work. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And I'll end with a quote from you that you said to me over 20 years ago when I saw you in an elevator. You said, preach the gospel all the time, everywhere, to everybody.
And I haven't changed, Eric.
That's awesome. Thank you again for coming on.
Thank you.
God bless you.